The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're on The Burt Show.
So, Abby, female friendship conflict. You kind of had an aha moment?
Yeah, I feel like this is something everybody my age kind of goes through, where you're moving through so many different relationships in your life, whether it's romantic or friendships or just like work relationships in general. And you have to figure out how to have conflict that's productive. And for me, that's something I've been learning over the last couple of years of my life. And I make it a point not to talk about my interpersonal drama, because on here, if it gets out into the world, it's just too much. But one question I've never answered from my DMs is, a lot of people seem to come to me for questions about female friendship, which they shouldn't. There's just one question I've never answered, is, and it's how to handle conflict well, or how to come to resolutions in female friendships. And the reason I've never answered that is because I think it's something that I have been trying to figure out for the last couple of years. And recently I started noticing this pattern in my life, in pretty much all of my relationships, not just female friendships, but also romantic relationships and just my relationships in general. I've noticed, I'm like, anytime someone gets close to me, they just kind of ghost me out of nowhere. I wonder what that's about. So I decided to go to therapy for that and talk about some of my previous romantic relationships, my previous female friendships, and kind of get an objective standpoint on things that have happened and where things have gone wrong in moments of conflict. And this week I had something happen in a completely different sector of my life, not a female friendship, not a romantic situation, but there was a moment of conflict and I was like, why is this happening, where I feel like I am bringing logical things to this conflict and it's not being handled well? And I kind of had this moment where I'm like, maybe women in times of conflict don't need to be approached more with a feelings-based argument, if you will. And I think the way I have approached conflict in my past is that someone will come to me and be like, hey, XYZ happened, blah, 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 blah. And the way my brain works is, I think, oh, if this person thinks that this happened and they're upset by this, if I approach them with facts, if I lay out, oh, well, if you feel that way because of X, Y, and Z, actually X, Y, and Z did not happen, A, B, and C happened. That has never worked well for me. And I've never understood why, because I'm a logical person. And I'm like, logically, if that's not true, then you should stop feeling that way. And I think what I've noticed is that when you approach those conflicts less with facts and more with feelings, people respond better. Because I think what happens in conflict is people will start to tell themselves a story of what's happened based off of what they believe did. So if something happened, and maybe it's a miscommunication, or maybe they heard something down the grapevine, between the time that that happens and when they approach you with the conflict, they have already started building this narrative that is very hard to dispel. And that's going to start stirring up some really negative feelings in them. So when you just start throwing facts at that person, they still have that internal narrative and those internalized negative feelings that you haven't acknowledged. And so the lesson that I'm trying to say is if someone's coming to you with false information that's making them feel a type of way, it's probably better to start with acknowledging their feelings and making them feel validated before you start throwing the logic at them. Because I think when people come to you with conflict, they just want to feel heard rather than to just be told that they're wrong. Because for the last, you know, however long, they've been telling themselves that one thing is true, and that's going to be hard to switch their mind on.
And if it's a person you care about, because I do see, like, you're a facts over feelings person when it comes to, you know, conflict or disagreement or an argument. But if you're the other person and you saw the situation in a certain way, whether that be accurate or not, that's how you saw it. So if the other person comes at you with their facts, it's just going to be like, you're not hearing me and you're just trying to prove me wrong, and you're going to feel the other person's going to feel disrespected. They're going to feel unseen. They're going to feel unheard. And I do think you strike a delicate balance with that, because you shouldn't let people walk all over you with their narrative, for sure. But if this is somebody you genuinely care about and you have rapport with, you come to a mutual understanding. Okay, this is how you saw the situation. This is how I saw the situation. I just want to make sure that we can meet somewhere where we're both seen and heard. And I want to make sure you know I care about you, and I care about your feelings, and I care about how you're feeling. And that was never an intention to make you feel XYZ.
You kind of touched on where I wanted to go with that, because how do you find a balance in that? Because I struggle with that. I've always struggled with that. I'm a facts over feelings person all day long. And when I was younger, someone told me, and I always remembered, that you should always speak matter-of-factly, because wise people will always be able to tell when someone is speaking through a filter of emotion and when someone is just speaking through just general facts. And it's difficult for me when I feel like someone is speaking to me through emotion, to where they're kind of making things up that didn't happen. And I don't know how to remove that and understand that, okay, maybe they are coming at me in a place where they want to be heard, as opposed to me kind of going back at them with this doesn't even make sense.
Well, see, so for me, and like, so my husband is a very logical, factual, he starts in facts. And I'm a very emotional person, and I start with emotion. And so for me, I think it's explaining that both are correct. Okay. Like, your facts are correct and my emotions can be correct. Right. And it's understanding the why. So often when it comes to facts, it's like, it's face value and it's what's there. But if you dig beneath the surface, you can get to more of the emotion of it. So, you know, in some of our little pettier quips or whatever, he's just like, but it's blank. And I'm like, no, if you peel back the layers and you get to the understanding of the why, you're seeing it just from this vantage point. I'm over here. I've experienced XYZ, which is what got me to this emotional state, which is why this situation affected me the way it did.
I think it's with acknowledging the narrative they told themselves, whether that narrative is true or not. I think it's acknowledging, hey, I can see from your perspective that because you think that this happened, I acknowledge that that made you feel a certain way. And I want to let you know that I would never want to make you feel that way. And just sitting with them in that moment. And like, let me be clear. I literally had this aha moment this week. So let's see if I try it, you know, next time around. But I think it's with bringing some truth, bringing some validity to it. Like, acknowledging that that was a very real thing for them, that they think that that happened, even if it didn't. But also acknowledge for yourself that it's frustrating for someone to see things from a completely wrong lens and accuse you of something when it wasn't the case at all. So try and manage your feelings, manage theirs, and then hopefully once they feel validated, you can come to a factual conclusion.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
As I understand it, but any healthy relationship, they are built on compromise. One person's compromised, the other one's happy, then it goes back and forth like that, right? So what if the compromise means that one person in the relationship pretty much has to give up their life for the other person's dream? Now you got problems. That's what our email's about here.
Dear Burt Show, I need your help. I have my dream job, my career job, in the palm of my hands. My dream job is to be in law enforcement. The job that I am currently at pays decent, but in order to make the move to my dream job, some sacrifices have to be made. My wife would have to quit her job to stay at home to be with the kids. We're not financially stable yet, but we are working on it. In 4 months, my daughter will have her first birthday. My mother-in-law is living with us, and she complains every time we ask her to watch the kids. So that is why my wife would have to quit her job. I want to take the job, but I feel like the right thing is to be responsible and let my dream job slip away. Please, Bert Show, I need your help on what to do. Sincerely confused.
Way to hit that all caps, babe.
Thank you.
If you guys want to play therapist here, 1-855-BERT-SHOW. This one's tricky here because I'm just looking into the future here and the opportunity for resentment is high on one end or the other here. So here he starts, like, if he gives up this this dream job of his, and he holds resentment. But if she has to give up everything that she's done, then she holds resentment. I don't know how you compromise in a situation like this.
I know it's tough. And here's the thing. I think this is just going to involve an adult conversation. And we were talking about this last week after the show. I'm like, sometimes I feel like the emails that we get are just kind of like, should I have an adult conversation with this person in my life or not? And I think you just need to sit down and really see if you can come to an agreement on if this is going to be the best thing for y'all's relationship and your life together. I think that's the hard part about when you merge your life with someone, is these decisions that you make, they don't just affect you anymore. And when you're moving forward in life, and you're building something together, those decisions can't just be made on your own. So I think you should just sit down and have a little chit chat with her and come to a conclusion.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, dream jobs don't come by every day. As far as I know about law enforcement, it's pretty drawn out what the first like 5 years are going to look like for you, as far as what the promotions will look like and how you will go into it. So I would try to find a way to where maybe she doesn't have to quit, but maybe figure out a different situation to where I can at least build enough money for us to be financially stable. And if you can do that, then I think you come up with a plan together to make it work. But if your wife doesn't want to quit her job, I don't think you force her to do that, so you can find your way.
I also want to, like, we have minimal details here. And so I don't know, you know, the circumstances of having your mother-in-law live with you and if there's any medical issues there. But the fact that she complains, she lives with you and complains every time she has to watch your kids, or that you ask her to watch your kids. You got a doozy in the pants there. But, like, you know, Bart, my husband, sacrificed where he was living to move with me so I could pursue my career. And while there was a little bit of a struggle as far as him feeling worthy, because he wasn't bringing as much to the table financially, but we got over that hurdle like around the year 7 or 8. I can say he harbors no resentment. This is a decision we made together as a couple, and it has worked out for us. And now we're starting to do a little more of a shift so he can start doing some of the things that he's wanted to do when it comes to real estate investment, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I do. I feel like relationships are full of compromise and sacrifice. And as long as you're on the same page and can keep your egos and emotions in check and not harbor that resentment, then yeah, dude, go for it. Man, get your mother-in-law to step up.
Mercedes, good morning. You're part of the Bert Show. Hi.
Hi. I actually completely agree. Like, if his wife knows him the way she should, because that's her husband, that she should be able to be like, you know, I'll take this sacrifice for our family and be there for our family so you can achieve your dreams, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's help build up each other. And, like, that's what relationships is really about, like, taking those compromises to make life better for each other. Like, who's to say that she doesn't go back to work in like 6 months, a year or whatever, because he does so good at his job, he gets moved up. Like, it doesn't have to be permanent.
That's a good point. Appreciate you calling. And here's Danielle. Good morning. You're part of the Bert Show. You got one dude that wants his dream job, but if he does that, wife has to sacrifice everything. So what do you do?
Okay, so me and my husband were in a similar situation about 10 years ago. And I had to give up my dream job so he could pursue his. We had a newborn baby. And, I mean, it worked out for the best. Yeah, we had to live with the in-laws for a little bit. But now we have our own house, the truck. I've been able to be a stay-at-home mom with our son and really focus on my career now, which I do have my dream job now. I get to work from home. But, you know, it's all about making sacrifices for each other. And yeah, it might be hard at the beginning, but the end result is so amazing.
Appreciate you calling. Thank you. All right, I am going to need some help breaking myself of what has now become an expensive habit. I remember it was months and months and months ago that Cassie said that she was ordering Uber Eats like all the time, right? And at some point or another, you had to like dig in and say, look, I'm just not doing it anymore. I don't know if you actually saw the amount of money for the month, but something shocking had to happen, right?
Yeah, I definitely stopped using it as much. I say this as I just completed an order on Uber Eats because Rebecca's ordering this morning, but I did take it way, way down in the finance. It needed to happen, and the finances definitely bounced back in a noticeable way.
So I didn't even realize truly that how much I was buying in this particular area that I will share with you in a second until Courtney brought it up the other day. Courtney is staying with me for like 4 weeks. She bought a house, so she's in between homes right now. She's unhomed. So she's staying with me right now. And she's like, another package arrived today. It's every single day. I didn't realize how much I was spending on supplements. TikTok and Instagram has taken me by storm, and I didn't even realize how much I was spending. I get so excited when new supplements come to the house that I don't even think, like, I know because I saw this on TikTok or Instagram that if I want to live to 100 that I need this supplement, so I just keep buying them over and over again.
So I started to fall into this trap on TikTok. I even went on TikTok and blocked the words TikTok shop to stop showing me the videos.
Dang.
But then they still find a workaround, and I bought like a Bluey shirt for my husband. And then there was a knee massager, and he's got bad knees, so I bought that. And then I bought myself a hair straightener. And I was like, what am I doing? Because it's two clicks to buy it. It's so easy. And I noticed once I bought that first thing, the ass, oh my God, doubled. And then every other one, I was like, and because the algorithm's so good, it knows exactly what you want. And then it keeps feeding it to you. And so I had to like stop myself because I was getting played by AI.
The same algorithm they're using for your for you page, which is so accurate, right? I mean, they want to keep you on there for as long as they can for this particular reason. The longer you're on TikTok, the longer you're on Instagram, the more apt you are to buy different products, right?
How many different type of supplements are there? Like, what are you buying?
Oh, there's a lot.
So many.
There's so many.
I was embarrassed to do this.
Oh, I can't wait.
Did you bring show and tell? No
way.
Good
Lord.
What?
So I brought a backpack in. Everything that I'm about to pour out of this backpack, I have bought over the last 8 weeks, okay?
Wow. You look like a
Herbert Weiss.
Hey, yo.
Herbert Weiss. No, you did not.
You need another mention.
GNC is out of product.
Yeah, he's like a GNC drug dealer.
I got it for the cheap.
Look at all this, you guys. All right, so this one right here, this was a device that was going to hit me at a certain frequency to get me into deep sleep. So I bought that one. I think that was like $78.
Oh my God. Did it work, though?
Wow.
It did not work.
Okay.
Joe Rogan told me to buy this energy and focus gum. It seemed like a really good idea at the time. So it's like caffeine gum.
Didn't you buy a stupid amount of that too?
Yeah, he gave me some the other day. It did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, me neither.
I did. I bought those brain pills that he
Oh, is that right? The alpha about. Something? Yeah,
alpha brain.
All right, so that's that one. This is some turmeric and curcumin. That's good for inflammation. This massager. This little mini massager here.
What that massage?
I don't want to get into it.
I have an idea. I have an area. After you read chapter 55 in the second Court of Thorns book.
This isn't a supplement, but I now have five diffusers in my house.
Oh, that was worth the investment. Those are amazing.
When you came over and you said my house smells good.
I bought them on the spot.
I don't feel like you can count the diffuser because you like those. They're good.
Well, I love all of them. The ashwagandha is supposed to help you relax at night and go to bed, right?
Those work.
Then we got this one. These are peptides for your skin. One skin peptides. I don't know if they're working or not, but when I went downstairs to get Botox yesterday, they said, ooh, we're going to give you a free facial. All right. So this apparently is not working. this is good for your A1. This is fenugreek. It's a supplement that's supposed to be good to lower sugar. What else we got here? Oh, yeah. And then there's a sleep cocktail now that Andrew Huberman told me about that I'm really excited about. It's It's magnesium, theanine, and this other one that I can't pronounce. This is just over the last couple of weeks. So
he's the one I would trust, Huberman.
Yeah.
He also told me to do the BioStack NAD, which is really good for your cells and slowing down aging. Then there's this one I bought the other day.
These, oh, jeez.
Wow.
These two are supposed to be really good for guys and your testosterone and your mood and also to focus. This one is She Legit. Be really careful.
She legit.
too legit to quit.
Yes, sir.
If it's a testosterone supplement, shouldn't it be He Legit?
I can't stop purchasing them. They all seem like when the ads come up, it's like going to save my life and I'm going to be able to live to 120 years old. And I just keep buying this crap.
How much money is sitting right there?
I think you're talking about $300 and some there, maybe even more.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, I'm certain the phones listen to you. I feel like we've discussed that enough.
Yes.
I was talking about my liver the other day, and then I started getting ads for liver supplement pills, yes. And I almost bought them because yes. I'm like, oh, yes, I need this.
And that could be very true. You know, like half of my day, I feel like I'm talking about longevity and biohacking. So if my phone is listening to me, it clearly is like, suck us talking about it again. We can sell him some of this She Legit.
Well, Joe Rogan's on the other line. He'd like to thank you for his third
home. No doubt, man. It's the Burt Show.
This is The Burt Show.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I think your knee-jerk reaction is if you're getting harassed at work, yeah, of course you got to say something about it. Or do you?
So that's the question. And this is a friend of mine, and she's a woman, and she's in a really rough spot. And unfortunately, I'm sure it's something that a lot of women probably experience at least once in their lifetime. And she came to me and she was talking to me about this. And she was saying that it's not as easy as I, as a man, thinks to just say something. And that's where I feel for her. And I don't know what she should do. So she's been with this company for a long time. I think over a decade. And she loves her job. She loves everything about her job. She doesn't want to do anything else. In recent times, in the last month of her life, I guess there's been some project that they're working on. And so they've been put into different groups. And her group happens to be with this one guy who is newer to the company. So she had to exchange numbers with the guy, obviously, in order for them to work on the project and talk about work. And she said in the beginning, it started off very normal. Every conversation they would have would be work-based. And that was the end of that. So she's had 3 incidents now with this guy to this point, where she's now literally in a space of, I don't even want to go back to work, but I also am afraid to say something. Because the first incident was she had to go into his office. And she said she felt this weird energy because when she goes into the office, he immediately gets up, closes the door, and closes the shades in the office.
Oh, that's weird.
So that's what she thought.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't understand what that was about. So the first time he did it, she let it go. And she was just like, all right, I don't know what that was, but that was awkward. So then the second incident happens where he sees her in the hallway, and normally they would just say hello. But for whatever reason, on this particular day, he like reached out to give her a hug. And so she gave him a hug, but when the hug occurred, his hand was a lot lower than it should have been.
Mm. Ooh, uh-huh.
And so she was like, okay, that's the second thing now at this point. So she's like, all right, maybe it was an accident. You know, she's like, man, I'm going to let it go.
No more physical contact after that. I can control that and just deny it.
Right. So then the office part, now after the hug, the office thing feels even more weird where she goes in there. And she noticed that he only does this with her. When a guy would go into the room and they would have to have a meeting, he doesn't close the door. For some reason, when she goes in, he closes the door. So when she noticed this, she got up and opened the door. She didn't say anything about it, just got up and opened it back. He got up and closed it back.
No way.
So that's when she's like, okay, I'm not in my head about this. Something is happening here. So the final thing that happened where she was like, all right, now I really need to decide if I'm going to say something. They had some type of conference and like, you know how you have the conference rooms of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire company is there, you know, food, and they're having whatever, their conference together. At some point, she said that he's like texting her from a different table because they all sitting at whatever table that they were assigned to. And he says, what are you doing later for lunch? Do you want to go upstairs?
Nah, I'm busy. I'm going to be in the HR office.
Facts. Which I didn't even put together because I was like upstairs.
To his hotel room?
Because there's hotel rooms, which I didn't even put that together. But I'm like, oh, that's what he meant with a wink face. Ends it with a wink face.
Oh, my God. Ew.
So now she's got receipts, though.
Yeah.
She does.
Yep.
So she finds out that not only does she have those receipts, but where the hug occurred, there are cameras. So I guess in her talking to someone else that she works with, trying to get some advice, apparently this guy has done this before with someone else at the company, but that woman also didn't say anything. So my knee-jerk reaction was, you should say something, because if you don't, this man is going to continue to get away with this and probably do it to as many women as he can before he's finally called out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she goes into the sympathetic place of, you know, he's married and he has kids and I don't want him to lose his job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to create these waves for myself. I don't know what this is going to look like for me and the company if I say something. So she's like, I don't know what to do, Mo, because as much as I want to say something, I really don't see this going well for me if I do.
Yeah, as a fellow woman, you see it all the time. Like, even though you're not the one in the wrong, you're calling out somebody's bad behavior. When a woman speaks up, she typically gets attacked. Like, she will be the one that gets attacked for what she says happens. And it happens time and time again. And that's why, like, I want to empower people to speak up. But I also don't fault them for not saying anything, because when you do, you're either not believed or you're attacked for what you said.
Did you say the power dynamic here is weird? Like, he's in a higher position than she is?
She said it's kind of weird, because not really. They're kind of on an equal playing field,
yeah.
But he is the lead of this project.
Okay, so would a text like this... Again, I'm not a woman, so I haven't been in this situation, so my mind doesn't think like that. But sending a text back saying, I'm feeling uncomfortable. If this continues to happen again, I'm going to HR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now she's got the receipt. She's fired her shot. And if they're equal, especially, I don't know what the risk is there.
To me, I mean, I feel like it sounds simpler than it actually is, because like you... explain how this woman is feeling. Women tend to empathize with people's mistreatment of others, like thinking, oh, well, he has kids and he has a wife and I don't want to ruin his life, even though what he did made me feel uncomfortable. Because then we start to think, well, was his hand really that low? Is it me? I mean, mm-hmm. Does he shut the door with everybody anytime they go into the office? And you start to gaslight yourself to where you start to feel like maybe what you're feeling isn't valid, and it's hard to stand on business when you're talking yourself out of it. So for me, if I was her, I would have no problem saying that it was making me feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, like, I don't blame her by mm-hmm. any means if she's not willing to put her career at risk for something that she may not feel confident standing up for yet.
Here's Candace, who's got some advice for you, Mo. Hey, Candace, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. So one, she needs to read her employee handbook on harassment, discrimination. Two, if they retaliate, usually retaliation against the harassment claim is illegal, and she can file an EEOC should they retaliate and terminate her. But this is serious because this guy, I mean, one, he's asked her to basically probably go against her employee handbook of dating or having relationships with upper management.
So, Candace,
who cares? Who cares if he gets fired and he has a family? Who effing cares?
That's it.
So, Candace, I have a question for you because you sound like you actually know your stuff. So in this instance, because I've always heard HR is not there to protect you. They're there to protect the company, right? So what if she sends him? Yeah. What if she sends him? What if she sends him an email point blank and says, hi, moving forward, I don't want you to close the door when I come into your office. And please don't send text messages like the one you sent blank. And then you have that in writing and see what happens from there.
She could, but that's going to open up a can of worms because then he's going to start to nitpick and nitpick and nitpick everything that she's doing wrong in her job. And he's going to have documentation of that. She needs to have documentation written out, filed with the company about his harassment.
Candace, are you in HR or did you just watch a lot of Law and Order and stuff?
No, I'm an HR generalist for a staffing agency.
Yeah, you are. We can hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Which is why I asked my question.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
This is The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.